Do you start thinking about your timeouts potentially? Football is loose. Fields evading a catastrophe, but they lose a ton of yardage. Here's the game for Pittsburgh. 4th and 10. Fields, can he get it out? He does, and it is incomplete. Shane Steichen and company hold, and they win it to get their second straight win in as many weeks. 27-24, you're finally.
Well, that sucked. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. They don't suck. Your hometown home and business security company. Steelers fall behind 3 scores in the first quarter. They fight. They claw. They battle their way back. Only to have one of the sloppiest, most frustrating attempted game-winning or game-tying drives that I can remember. Defense, no good. Fields, really good, except when he wasn't. The running game, non-existent, and then existent, and it was kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. But what do they say, Doran? You're as good as your record says you are. Steelers 3-1, that's pretty good. Could have been 4-0. They ultimately lost the game.
I saw you this morning whenever we went and got our coffee as soon as we got here, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this football game. I'm torn. I'm definitely torn from this game. Just, you know, how Justin Fields orchestrated the comeback, but how they started and then the defense getting dissected and, you know, surgically just, oh my gosh, like, you know, they could do anything they wanted to, the Colts could. Facing two different quarterbacks and knowing one of them was Joe Flacco, like, I don't know how, and you called it all week, man. I got to give you the credit. You
Thank
called
you.
It all week. You had an intuition that they were going to lose this football game. You even said that you didn't know how, but and you didn't expect it to go the way that it did, but you just had a feeling that they were going to lose this game. And, man, from the jump, it was just – you could just tell that the flow of the game that they were going to have a hard time to come back and try to win that and win that football game.
Shane Steichen's given it to Mike Tomlin a couple of times here, man. Oh, man. Grandma. Bachelor party. Cigarettes, wedding, the voice battling through it. Man, it's one thing to lose a game by a field goal on the road when you're already 2-0. These losses happen. They just do, oh, it's a Tomlin loss. Okay, sure, but the Ravens had one of those at home to the Raiders. The Bengals have had two to the Commanders and to New England, both at home. Look across the league. This happens all the time. You go on the road, you lose a game, desperate team. The thing that drives me nuts, though, is that for 3 quarters, they were okay. The first quarter, they just didn't give themselves a chance. And after the game, Mike Tomlin said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, if you start down 17, it is how you start. Like, you can't come out of the gates and get your asses kicked the way that they did and then expect to come back and win. This is the NFL. We see it all the time in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, West Virginia's up 10 points with 3 minutes and 15 seconds left. Pitt comes back and wins. Next week, same thing. We saw it with Georgia and Alabama this weekend. Georgia down 28-0. There's 100,000 rabid Alabama fans there. You think that thing's sewn up? No. Georgia comes back and takes the lead. They were down 30-13. It happens in college. You don't see it a lot in the NFL. You get down 17-0. You lose. And so the start to me is unacceptable. I said before this game, these things happen. I will allow for Fields to get a mulligan. I will allow for Tomlin to get a mulligan. And I'm not going to crush them if they lose a football game on the road. And so I'm not going to go full, overboard and destroy these guys for losing a game. But the start has me real pissed off. Okay, you give up a 70-yard touchdown drive, then you punt, then you give up an 86-yard touchdown drive, then it's a turnover on downs because you have an extra tackle come in and totally whiff on a block.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to kill the play call. People want to say, oh, you can't have Justin Fields in shotgun on 4th and short. Sure you can. Make your damn block. You make a routine block, he gets 3 yards on the play, and your drive continues. But they don't execute. And then you give up a 9-play, 25-yard drive. They kick a field goal. 3 straight drives. You're down 17-0. Most points you've given up in a game, and you've done it on 3 drives. So, to me, a loss is explainable. It's excusable. It's going to happen. You're still 3-1 through, quote unquote, a quarter of the season. But it's the way they came out that really sticks in my craw today, Doran.
There's one huge issue. There's many issues, but there's one huge issue that I recognized, you know, throughout that first quarter, and especially on defense, is the communication.
Oy.
Like, they know what they want to do and what they want to be on defense, but it just seemed like guys just weren't on the same page at all. Like, Patrick Queen, this offseason thought it was a home run signing. He hasn't really shown up. You know, he hasn't really shown up. And a lot of the communication, that does land on his shoulders.
Absolutely.
And I saw him yelling at certain people, certain times in coverage of, you know, busting the coverage. And the communication was just awful. And, you know, you're on defense. It's not like it's going to be loud. You can't have that excuse. But it just seemed like that they didn't even get out of the locker room until the second quarter. Like, how are you not up for every single game?
Right. That's what drives me nuts, Doran.
Yes.
Especially when, okay, we've seen this from them before. When they've been their most vulnerable this year, it's coming out of the tunnel. It's that first drive. We saw it happen with Atlanta. They come down the field. The Steelers are able to bow up. You give up a field goal. We've seen that from them. So I wasn't concerned after the first touchdown. Okay, it's not good. You don't really want to start like that, especially on the road, but the defense will settle down. They'll be fine. They were not fine. And they weren't fine against Anthony Richardson, and they sure as hell weren't fine against 39-year-old, should-be-getting-Social-Security, Joe Flippin' Flacco. That can't happen. That's the thing to me that is not explainable. I am okay. I want to phrase this correctly. Losses happen. All that, they could be 9-0 talk, that came in one of my ears and out the other because I think it's BS. They weren't going to be a 9-0 football team. They're not that good. These losses happen in the NFL. They would happen with Tom Brady when they go on the road to Miami. We see Kansas City, they've won 10 straight games, 9 of them by one score. Why do they pull them out? Because they got Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is the state of the NFL. But your defense is $140 million. T.J. Watt doesn't show up.
Nope.
Joey Porter Jr., I thought, played maybe his worst game as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Patrick Queen didn't play well. Name me a guy on defense that did play well. Maybe late Cam Hayward.
Deshaun Elliott, maybe.
Deshaun Elliott, Minkah Fitzpatrick, we'll get into the penalty stuff. You cannot give up 27 points when you are this defense. It cannot happen. That's the most frustrating part to me. That's supposed to be the constant. Every single week, the Steelers' defense should be the best of the six units on the field. Offense, defense, special teams. Steelers' defense needs to be the best. You're paying them to be the best. I happen to think T.J. Watt is the best non-quarterback in football. I don't care that your Robin's not playing. You need to be better, especially when he's not playing, in fact. And the defense was a total no-show in this game until the end of the game. And at that point, it's too little too late.
Whenever, and going against, I don't care if Joe Flacco did what he did last year. Like you just said, he's 39 years old. He's a statue back there. He still has an arm, but he's a statue. Whenever the backup quarterback goes into the game and you have T.J. Watt, you should feel really good as you are the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, as supposed to be regarded as one of the best defenses in the NFL, of at least getting to them one time, two times, if you're T.J. Watt, and they held him in check. Like, Joe Flacco, they lost a backup quarterback. Like, that is unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
I don't care who your backup quarterback is.
Right.
He came in and shredded them.
Shredded.
Mike Tomlin asked about attacking Joe Flacco.
No, we didn't feel like thinning out our coverage was appropriate. Flacco is a much more proficient passer than Richardson, and so blitzing doesn't necessarily help you. A veteran guy makes quick and prudent decisions, didn't feel good. And obviously, we got experience competing against Joe Flacco.
They respected Flacco too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want to blitz Joe Flacco. He's a veteran. He's precise. He's going to process things quickly. Maybe. Is it 2011?
Right.
Like that to me is such a bogus explanation from Mike Tomlin. They did blitz him three times by my count. in the game. Like, one time they brought Beanie Bishop. Yep. They brought the inside backers at another point. Like, they did blitz him three times, and this is not a defense that blitzes a lot because they've had so much success this year getting pressure with four. I think, in fact, they have the lowest blitz percentage in football. So you don't want to always change what you do, but we've talked about how this defense should be multiple. We've talked about how they've game plan specific for opponent. Joe Flacco does not move. And you're going to say that he's a veteran? And so we know he's going to dice us up if we blitz. This isn't Joe Flacco on the Super Bowl run where he's carving up the Denver Broncos and then winning a championship. Hey, even the Joe Flacco that you saw yesterday, who's a good backup, the guy who helped get Cleveland to the playoffs last year, also threw a bunch of interceptions for the Browns in 2023. Like, this is a guy that will make mistakes. In fact, he almost made one. Was it JPJ?
Yep.
You got to catch that ball in the back of the end zone, man.
The end zone, yeah.
Like, he'll throw it to you. He's 39. He's probably got bifocals on. And we can't blitz that guy.
I can't believe their mindset. Like, they got into their feelings and got into their mind so much because of Joe Flacco. Like, they let him alter what they were going to do. Or what they wanted to do, or what they could do so much. Like, that is bizarre to me.
And they talked about how things change when Richardson leaves because they're such different players. Well, Richardson kicked their ass, too.
Yes.
Like, it's a 14-0 game because Richardson's going down the field on you. So, both quarterbacks had success against the Steelers. There is a silver lining, though, and I think a big one, which is why I'm killing them a little bit, but I'm not going overboard today. Not the worst thing in the world to get to see what Justin Fields is made of.
Yep.
When you fall behind, and he had his blame in falling behind too. The offense was not good for a lot of this game. And so you can't only put it on the defense. But when you need to come back, he leads three consecutive touchdown drives. And if not for the snap situation, which we'll get to in the next segment, you know, I think they probably go down the field and are at least setting up for a Boswell field goal at the gun to tie that thing. Like, that's how much faith I had in him at the end of the game. And we've kind of been waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if they fall behind? Can he bring them back? Three straight touchdown drives? I know they didn't win the game. I know he didn't bring them all the way back. But I do feel like we got the answer to that question.
Very significant.
Yeah.
Very, very. Everything that I saw to Justin Fields, coming back towards the end of that football game, was very, very significant in a way where you can, and he basically did it himself.
Yes, he did.
And he put the team on his back. And if you are sitting there right now and you are questioning whether you want to sub Justin Fields for Russell Wilson based upon his performance yesterday, you're out of your mind.
I'm with you on that.
Out of your mind.
A lot of people calling for Russell Wilson at halftime.
Out of your mind.
I thought that Justin Fields threw three games, and the Chargers game in particular did enough to where you get at least one mulligan, and yet a lot of Steelers fans wouldn't give him more than a half, which I think is ridiculous. And he had his Chicago Bears Justin Fields moments in this game, no question. Took a couple of bad sacks. I know that there were two free rushers on the 22-yard loss and fumble, so I blame the offensive line. You also can't run backwards 22 yards and fumble the football. You had bad moments from Fields. He's also the first Steelers quarterback in the history of this franchise to throw for 300 and rush for 50 in the same game. He accounted for three touchdowns. He is not the reason that they lost this football game. Not by a long shot. You can list 10 things before Justin Fields, and we will do that over the course of the next 3 hours and 45 minutes. But the snap heard round the world. What the hell happened here? Was it Frazier's fault? Was it somehow McCormick's fault? Was it Justin Fields' fault? Was it a little column A, B, and C? What happened? You'll hear the people involved explain it, and then we'll dissect it. That's the word of the day. When we come back, Fan Morning Show. We'll get you Callis' headline in a second. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Do you start thinking about your timeouts potentially? Football is loose. Fields evading a catastrophe, but they lose a ton of yardage.
And I snapped the ball, so you know, I was in the middle of making a call when I got the tap. Just got the call out, you know, and I just had to snap it. I don't know exactly what happened on it, but it's unfortunate. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, like I said, I was making a call. I got the signal and finished making the call and snapped it. So I don't know. I'm going to have to get with Justin and see what happened. But I'm not completely sure what happened.
Yeah, it's my fault. We were going to the first leg kick. Then Zach was IDing stuff. I felt the DBs rotating and changing the back end picture. So when he was IDing stuff, telling the O-line where to go, I was just trying to get that final picture before the snap came. So at the end of the day, it's on the first leg kick. So after I kicked my leg up, I got to be ready for the ball, no matter, you know, when it's going to come or not. So yeah, it's on me.
Justin Fields, a leader, takes responsibility. Zach Frazier says he doesn't know what happened, which is never good. You're going to have to get in the lab, figure that one out. That can't continue to happen. No matter who's at fault, no matter what went down, we've seen it way too much. It's 5 times.
Right.
If you go back to the preseason, Frazier, Fields, 5 times in the NFL, can't happen. There's a million different reasons why they lost this game. No question. We can list them, and it would take the entire show, and we'll do that. And it will take the entire show. But that's one of the plays that did ultimately cost them the game. What do you think happened there?
Well, did Spencer Anderson slap him on his hip? Slap Frazier on his hip?
I think it was McCormick. But
McCormick, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the guards did?
Yeah.
So then it was probably on the guard.
So that's what McCormick said, is that he did do that. And that's what Frazier said, is he did feel the tap. And then I saw someone cut the video after the tap and say, see, this was all Frazier's fault. And then you rewind like 10 seconds and you did see the tap. So I think all three of them were kind of on different pages.
Yeah, it was everybody's fault.
Yeah.
But if their design is to, after one leg kick, then, you know, you get the tap from the guard and then the center snaps it. Like, Frazier can't see the leg kick. Only McCormick can.
Right, and he's turned around, McCormick, as you can see.
And he's looking at him. So if their design is to, one, if you pick your leg up one time, then it's like, all right, we're ready to go. Then, as Field says, he took the blame. He needs to be looking for the ball. And McCormick, it is hard to actually decipher, but it's all three of their fault at the same time.
Exactly. And here's the deal. It can't happen.
Right.
It can't happen no matter whose fault it is. Can't happen. I liked Field's description, because you go back and you watch, and Fields does, at the last second, he looks over to his right, because they're shifting things on defense, and the way he described it is, I'm trying to get my final picture of what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Fields had a really good beat on what they were trying to do in those final 4 drives.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's dissecting things pre-snap. It's just an unfortunate thing, and it can't keep happening. You'll be shocked by this. My mentions got blowed up.
Oh, I'm sure.
Blowed. You're WVU moron, da-da-da. Listen, you got a rookie left guard. You got a rookie center. You've got Spencer Anderson now playing right guard, who's now started, 3 games in his NFL career, all on the interior. And y'all want to come after me for West Virginia's center screwing up the game? TJ Watt's the best defensive player on the planet. Didn't show up. Patrick Queen is getting a lot of money. He was awful. Joey Porter Jr. in year 2 stunk. The coaching decisions in this game, of which we will cover in depth, a lot of bad ones. Justin Fields, 4th year in the league, fumbles the ball. George Pickens, 3rd year player, fumbles a football in the red zone when you're going to get points. There's a million different reasons this team lost the game. And you want to blame the rookie center and put it all on him? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I mean, at the end of the day, if we really get down to brass tacks here, I think that if you want to, you know, go 1, 2, 3 of blame, Zach Frazier would be the 3rd one to blame there, because he can't see anything. And all he knows is, whenever I get the tap, I'm snapping it.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Let's do it out this way, too. If it is Zach Frazier's fault, again, it's not good enough. But when you're down 17-0, that's why you lose. And Mike Tomlin did it the other way in his explanation after the game. He said, no, you got to make critical plays at critical moments. Mike, they're all critical. The same way that you can get kept out of the playoffs by losing the first game of the season, you can lose a game, and you did lose the game by being down 17-0 early. All these reasons are why they lost the game. Like, I feel like you can do this every single sports talk radio Monday after a loss. Who was most to blame? There's dozens of reasons why they lost this game. And that snap, one of the dozen reasons. Absolutely. Cannot happen, not excusing it. But if you say that's the reason they lost, come on.
No.
It is 6:28. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. I talk about coaching decisions. So I don't think Mike Tomlin had his best game. Not by a long shot. And it's the coaching staff. It's not just Mike Tomlin. But I had no problem with them going for the fourth down on their second drive of the game. No problem
Absolutely
with them going
no
for
problem.
It.
Absolutely no problem.
No. We want Mike Tomlin. We want the Steelers to be aggressive. If he doesn't go for it there, people say, oh, you're living in your fears. Problem is, you have a guy that you probably don't even want to be playing, who's your extra tackle, who's supposed to come in and block, and he just totally whiffs. Blocks nobody. And the guy that runs right across his face winds up tackling Justin Fields. I don't have a problem that it's in shotgun. I got no problem with that. So I actually don't put that one on Tomlin. But first drive of the game, you decide to punt when you could have Boswell kick a 59-yard field goal. A 59-yard field goal is absolutely no sure thing, but I think because they were already down, Mike Tomlin did live in their fears. Well, if he misses it, now the Colts are going to be set up in really good field position. Well, guess what? They came down and scored anyhow. I attempt that field goal with Chris Boswell 100 times out of 100, Doran.
Well, it just seems like there's a lot of inconsistency with a lot of Mike Tomlin's what he does and what he says and what he says that, you know, he relies on, and then the next game he doesn't rely on it. Like the first game, it's like, oh well, we have Chris Boswell, we're gonna use him, and he's gonna make five field goals, and you know, in situations that you saw yesterday, you almost saw that in the first game, but how come it doesn't apply in this game?
Right.
Like, you want to rely on them in that game, but you don't rely. Like, there's a lot of inconsistencies from what Mike Tomlin says or does in his actions game by game, like game to game. Like, why isn't it always consistent? Like, the thought process there is that you have one of the best kickers of all time, and you thought that way against Atlanta away in a dome, basically, inside, but it doesn't apply now?
That's really well said, Doran, because while you were saying that, I went back to look at that game, the first game. So obviously we know Boswell went 6-for-6 with 18 points. The long field goal is 57 yards.
Right.
So now it's 59 is too much. Can't do 59. I feel like that could have settled the team down there. I think Boswell bangs it. It's 7-3, and everyone goes, all right, let's relax here. We got points. We're fine. But they opted not to do that. A really, really bad challenge in the first half by Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin notoriously not good at that. That was a clear-as-day catch. He threw the flag very quickly. Now you're without a timeout. How about late in the game? First of all, Najee Harris, what the hell are you doing? Go out of bounds, you Nimrod. No timeout on the final drive, which I thought was bad coaching, and then just too much respect for Joe Flacco,
yes,
which we touched on in the first segment. Well, Joe Flacco's a veteran guy. He could dice you up. Well, he shouldn't. He's 39. You're the highest-paid defense in the league. So I think those are all the coaching issues, and we'll get to those, of course, over the course of the show. But up next, the injury report. We went into this, Indy really banged up. It's a reason why so many people did pick the Colts, and I think for good reason. All the matchups, all the statistics indicated the Colts should lose this game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were the more injured team. Well, now the Steelers' injuries have really piled up, and what does it mean for this team going forward? We'll talk about that coming up next. I was just looking through some of the stats of this game, Doran, and this just, bang, exploded in my face. So Justin Fields threw what? 34 passes. George Pickens had 11 targets, 7 catches, 113 yards. He was good yesterday, apart from the horrendous fumble. Only 4 targets to wide receivers not named George Pickens.
Yeah.
4 targets. Now, Freiermuth had a good game, 5-for-57 and a touchdown, targeted 7 times. Darnell Washington chipped in, 2 catches for 31 yards. Van Jefferson did make a nice play, but you can't only target your 2, 3, and 4 wide receivers 4 times combined.
It's crazy.
It just can't happen. But that's the way they're designed, because they don't have a true number two wide receiver. Are you ready for the injury report?
Mm-hmm.
The injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Mike Tomlin talked about the injuries his team sustained in the game.
From an injury standpoint, James Daniels is being evaluated with an ankle. C. Patterson, same thing, ankle. We had some bumps and bruises along the way, but that's the nature of this thing. It didn't determine the outcome of this game, or the quality of our play, or the lack thereof did. And I own that. We own that.
Respect to Tomlin for not using injuries in it as an excuse. He never has. He never will. The standard is the standard. Next man up, blah, blah, blah. But Cordarrelle Patterson, before Fields really turned it on, he was their best offensive player.
No doubt.
And I thought him getting hurt really affected the running game negatively, because I happen to believe, Dorn, that when Mike Tomlin swept it under the rug at his Tuesday press conference about Najee Harris in the sling, and then Najee doesn't practice on Wednesday, Najee's going to play through stuff. He's a tough son of a gun. But he did not look like himself yesterday. Had the nice catch. It was a really good call by Arthur Smith on the screen late in the game. Oh, God, was that a beautiful play call. And well run. Credit where credit's due. But running the ball between the tackles, Najee no good. Cordarrelle Patterson was an animal early. I thought that injury was massive.
You don't think that it just, even with the shoulder injury, it just looked different, though, with Cordarrelle Patterson whenever he was running the football compared to Najee?
That's like, what I'm saying.
Like, but I mean, even, okay, so his injury was what, his elbow or his shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it still looked different with the legs.
I saw a couple people speculate. They run a lot of zone stuff now.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know that that's a good fit for Najee.
Right.
And last year, when they were really hitting it, They weren't running his own stuff as much. That's not his strength. Now, Le'Veon Bell was perfect. You know, they picked that thing apart.
Mm-hmm.
You
look slow, like play.
Slow play, smooth jazz, yes, out there. C Pat, as Mike Tomlin called him. He was hitting a hole.
Yes, he was.
That guy is a monster. You didn't have Jaylen Warren. We're talking injuries here. That's massive. So whether Najee's hurt or not, it's not an excuse for him. If you're going to play, you got to play well. He did not play well. I mean, he was, let's just call it what it is. He was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Najee Harris, 3 catches for 54 yards. He had that long catch on the screen, which went for 32. 13 carries for 19 yards for Najee Harris.
Right.
A long carry of 5 yards. You need better from him. And Cordarrelle Patterson, 6 carries for 43 yards. So he more than doubles Najee up with fewer than half the carries. So that, to me, was a big loss. James Daniels, big loss. Because now, your interior is just inexperienced.
Yeah.
Inexperienced.
Well, now, you really need Isaac Samuel back.
Yes, you do.
Like, he's going to start this week. Like, I have no doubt about it.
Agreed.
But who's going to be the right guard? Is it going to be Spencer Anderson, or is it going to be McCormick? Now, McCormick is going to be playing. He's going to be moved from, you know, left guard to right guard, and he's a rookie. So, you know, you hope that his natural position is right guard so he can slide in there and be comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you hope that Isaac Seumalo is not being rushed back now that you have these injuries.
Right. I wonder if he was going to play this week anyhow. He was warming to it.
Yep.
But it's amazing how guys heal up real quick when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would bet you a lot of money. Well, even though you believe the same thing, I would bet somebody a lot of money that Isaac Seumalo is going to start at left guard this week.
Yes.
And you hope that Daniels, it's not a high ankle sprain, because I think he went out with the ankle. Herbig also banged up in this game. Like, someone texted in, Herbig a good rotational guy because of his size difference. He's not a good full-time end. I don't know that you can say that at this point. Like, he left the game. I thought they tweeted out, the Steelers PR, that he was out of the game.
Then he came back, right?
Yeah, I thought they tweeted, he's been ruled out. He winds up coming back in. Steelers made a mistake going into this one. They had 3 outside backers. They didn't bump anyone up from the practice squad. All of a sudden, you've got 2. So now you're in a world of hurt when you got 2 outside rushers. Because TJ Watt's going to need a blow every now and again, and you can't afford him that.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarvin Leal's your other, and he's really a defensive end. So that wasn't good. I can't say Herbig stinks. I can't say he's just a backup after this game. He was hurt, and it's just not ideal circumstances. So relax. Pump the brakes. It's a reaction Monday. Phone calls pouring in at 412-928-9370. I think we need to talk more in depth about Najee, too. And we'll do that coming up next, including something a Colts linebacker had to say about Najee Harris after the game. Wait until you hear this.
I think we all showed ourselves. I think we as a team showed what we can do. Not one player. Y'all always keep putting it on one person. It's the whole team, all 11 of us. Stop making it one player. Y'all keep saying Justin as if like he's the one throwing, catching, and running by. Like, come on, bro. It's all of us. So what do we do? What do we see? I saw us all fight, us as a team.
A little squirrely from Najee Harris after the game. Not the only time in that media scrum where he was a little snippy with reporters. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So as the Steelers are coming out onto the field, so they're in the tunnel, they flash to the team on the Jumbotron in Indy, and Najee Harris flashes the double bird. And one of the Colts linebackers quote tweets that image after the game, Zaire Franklin, and he tweets, "Kid is soft. 84 run harder." Now, 84 is Cordarrelle Patterson. Dang! I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson ran harder in this game. He ain't wrong. I mean, I wouldn't ever call Najee Harris soft.
He's not soft at all.
He's not soft, not even a little bit.
No.
Najee Harris has played through so many injuries in his career. He was running around with a steel plate in his shoe a few years ago, coming off of Liz Frank. Like, this guy ain't soft. But who was the better running back in the game? There's no question about that. It was Cordarrelle Patterson. And what a big loss he wound up being in this one. Because Najee did not have it running the football. Mm-hmm. Had an explosive catch, but running the ball, not even close to his best day.
You can feel whenever a running back, you know, got something or they don't, though. Like, I'm not going to say that Najee Harris is soft at all. Like, he's not soft, but I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, a linebacker can feel if a guy runs hard and is sturdy, or if a guy looks like he's running hard and it's easy to tackle. Now, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they're going to, you know, go back and forth because of what Najee did and everything. But to say he's soft, he's not soft. But he may not run as hard as Cordarrelle Patterson or even Jaylen Warren. It may look like he is, but, you know, those linebackers know whenever you feel it, whenever you bang into bodies, who runs hard and who doesn't.
I think, my layman opinion, Doran, it just seems like both Jaylen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson, they hit the hole faster.
Right.
Like, Najee's a little bit more tentative, and then whenever he gets going, he's a load to bring down. And we've seen in the past he'll do the jump over dudes thing. He's not done that this year on the sideline. A couple times I think, oh, he's going to jump. Doesn't. Lowers the shoulder. Once he gets going, he's a load to bring down. I just think it's harder for him to get going. It takes longer for him to get going than Cordarrelle Patterson. A couple times Cordarrelle Patterson takes the ball in the backfield. Bang! He's at the second level. And you're like, you don't want to tackle that guy.
No.
You talk about soft. The Colts wanted no part of tackling Cordarrelle Patterson.
That's what they're saying.
Right.
They're like, fine, we'll tackle Najee all day.
Yeah.
But Cordell, nah, we're good.
I bet you
it just looks different, though. I mean, whether, you know, you think it's injury, but it's always looked different. It's always looked different from the second back whenever Najee was paired with somebody. I don't even think it's scheme. I just think that he just doesn't have that burst that a lot of running backs have.
Is he the third best running back on the team?
Probably.
I think he is. And when I bring up that he's hurt, and I think he is, I'm not going to use that as an excuse because Tomlin wouldn't let it be one and Najee wouldn't let it be one. If you're on the field, you got to perform. I mean, that's the job. And it's easy for me to say here in my ivory tower sitting in my wheelie chair talking into a microphone, but if you're out there, you're out there because you think you can perform, and he just didn't perform all that well yesterday. Now, they did finish with 122 rushing yards, so now that's four straight games where they ran the ball over 100 yards. This was the first game where I really felt like they didn't run it well enough. Once Cordarrelle Patterson came out, if he was in the game, I bet you he goes over 100. Like, yep. That, it just seemed that way. I also had a buddy who bet Cordarrelle Patterson over 50 all-purpose yards, or over 50 rushing yards, excuse me.
And Cordarrelle?
Cordarrelle,
really?
Yeah. Because it was plus 850. Mm-hmm. I was hitting on all the CP overs, but I took him at over 25.
Mm-hmm.
So that got done when he got pulled from the game. It was like my friend's dog got run over by
him. I'm sure.
He was so mad.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Now it's time to hear from you, Pittsburgh. Give us a ring, 412-928-9370. Best caller. How about this one, Dorn? Best caller wins two tickets to see Stevie Wonder.
Oh, wow.
October 8th at PPG Paints Arena. I think Stevie actually refereed the game yesterday.
Wow.
I think he was the line judge. We'll get into the officiating later on in the show. We want to hear from you on the loss coming up next, and we're going to get into Justin Fields. It's also the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll question of the day. Who should start if Russ is healthy? I think it's easy. You seem to think it's easy, too. Do fans agree? 412-928-9370. But right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms, sunchevy.com.